Today, the accidental landlord and the equity trap. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to the latest post covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian and New Zealand flavour. Today, I'm joined again by property expert Joe Wills. Hi, Joe.
Good morning, Martin.
How are you going?
Yeah, very good, very good. We're getting some deep data out of New Zealand now, which is not painting a rosy picture of our future housing market. And dare I say, we're going to have some challenges with the economy moving forward over the next 24 months, I think.
Well, certainly the data doesn't necessarily lie, although sometimes maybe it's not as straightforward as it might look, but it'll be interesting to explore that then.
Yeah, well, the thing today that I wanted to discuss, and this is really because of experiences that I had in the UK, is the way that a market that corrects can have an impact on people's abilities to sell. And I guess the risk of landlords becoming landlords, not necessarily because they want to be landlords. By that, what I mean is that we've got a market at the moment where there's been an awful lot of money that's been pumped into New Zealand, and where prices have risen exponentially. But also, as Mike's graph last week showed, there's been a hell of a lot of a change in the number of people that have been purchasing in the higher ends of the market. With that often comes more debt and comes more exposure to risk. And I think that the challenge you have is that when the market does correct, and we're now getting HPI information from places like the REINZ and also from CoreLogic, that prices are coming down, and some suburbs said they've been coming down quite a bit. And what that does is it affects people's equity positions. Now, I wanted to sort of highlight this with respect to, I guess, my experience in the UK, where when we saw prices coming down from 2008, 9, 10, 11, and into 12, what happened was that there are many people whose lives changed, i.e. they wanted to move because they had a fantastic job offer somewhere else in the world or within the country. But actually their house was prohibiting them from doing that because the equity that they thought they'd had come off. And as a result, they were either reluctant to sell for lower levels and crystallize that loss, and had therefore had to go and look at other alternative measures to go and get themselves moved and actually make this move. And what this does is it creates an increase in the number of landlords. Now, to highlight it, just to sort of talk about an example, first of all, just to look at Auckland's rental market. The Auckland rental market, the national rental market, has been very steady over the last year or two. Nationally, throughout 2018, there were around 4,000 rentals available at any one point in time. So pretty much throughout last year, it hovered up between 3,800, 4,200. And nationally, the rental numbers were largely between 7,500 and 8,000 listings available. Now, I've used TradeMe and I've been looking at this throughout last year. Now, we've got a little bit of a spike happening in properties available for rent at the moment. At a time when sales volumes are low and properties are being withdrawn from the market, Barford and Thompson, just to give people an idea, the first 6 months of this year, their listings relative to their sales, they're seeing a dropout rate or a withdrawal rate of around 33%. So 33% of what's being listed isn't actually selling. So what's happening to these houses? Either they're giving up and they're deciding, well, we'll just wait for a time when things are better, or they're looking at the market and thinking, well, I might have to rent, I might have to do something else. So the national rental numbers from the early 8,000s last year, they've actually climbed up. We've now got, yesterday, just over 9,500 rentals available nationally. So again, the housing shortage that everybody's worried about, actually rentals are higher than they were last year. And in Auckland, those numbers have just gone over 4,800. So again, you're looking at about a 20% increase in the number of available rentals. Now, what's causing this, I think, is that we've got people who are, dare I say, becoming accidental landlords and are in this equity trap. And I wanted to highlight this by just reviewing the last few years of sales in Auckland. So Mike's graph shows us that we've had a peak in sales volumes and higher prices or higher mortgage exposure into the 700 to 900 bracket, 900 to 1.2, and particularly that 1.2 to 2 million bracket, where there's been quite a lot of concentration. In 2015, Auckland sales from the REINZ were 30,883. 2016, those sales were 25,987. 2017, which I guess is just coming off the peak of the market, 20,172. So quite a big drop off in sales in 2017. And 2018, where credit growth grew a bit from its 2017 level, we've got 21,447 sales. Now, this year, that's going to be significantly down. And I'm not sure where the ultimate figures will end up, but we're going to see sales levels probably back at 2009, 2010 levels. But when you consider that from a whole dynamic of the Auckland rooftop market, these are 4 years of transactions where people have gone and bought at the top end of prices. So many people who are looking to sell today, if they bought in 15, 16, 17, 18, well, the 2015 sellers may get back a price that they paid, and some of them might make a small profit, but the 16, 17, 18 sales, they're unlikely to actually be able to sell for more money than they bought for. In total, though, those 4 years make up 98,449 sales in the Auckland market out of total rooftops of about 500,000. So almost 20% of the rooftops have bought over the last 4 years. Now, I'm not saying that these people are all going to be forced to sell, but they won't be. Many of them are just going to have to bunker down and get on with paying down the mortgages. But when you think that generally over a 30-year term of a mortgage, less than 10% gets paid over the first 5 years, real estate transaction fees often 3 to 4.5% in Auckland. If you've not paid off a lot of equity over that last 2 or 3 years, the chances are that you may not want to sell at the moment. So this is why I think we're starting to see that slow increase in the availability of rental stock. Now, in the past, what was getting people moving was the growth in equity that we saw from 2013 to 2016. I just wanted to highlight this as a bit of an example from the real world. But if you think that you know, as a first home buyer, you bought an Auckland house in the suburbs, $500,000 back in 2013, when you could still achieve that purchase, nice 3-bedroom unit with you know, wooden fence and windows that shut. At that time, you borrowed $400,000 to do that. Now, by 2016, a lot of those 500,000 houses had risen to 800,000. So the guy who'd had a 100,000 mortgage at that point in time probably paid a little bit off. Had a 400,000 mortgage at that point in time. Over that 3-year period, probably paid a bit off, and their mortgage now would be 372. But with the rise of 300,000 in equity, they would have then had the ability to trade with over 400,000 in equity on a 40% level, up to that million dollar mark. Now, what we've seen since 2016, 17, 18 is that those people who then made that trade to a million, they haven't seen the equity growth, so they're just stuck with the 600 and something thousand mortgage and probably haven't paid enough off it to go and trade to the next level. The guy who's bought the house that was 500 and became 800,000, they may have done it with 25% deposit. They're likely to have quite a significant mortgage, but they haven't seen that equity grow to allow them to move again. So from a real estate business perspective, if you're not in lettings at the moment, if you're not renting properties out, you've got to factor in that maybe 20% of this marketplace, who won't be forced to sell necessarily, some will if jobs change, but there will be people out there who are stuck, and their options will be, okay, I've got a job move to Wellington, I've got a job move to Sydney, I've got a job move to Brisbane. How do I sell my house? I can't without taking a loss, that I rent it out. So I think it's something that people need to just sort of start thinking about from the perspective of what the dynamics are. And if you're running a business, okay, how do we protect our income? Because we've seen a drop off in transactions this year. It will be very low. I mean, I'll go into the Barf and Thompson numbers for June, but if you go over the sales that were made in June 19 compared to June 18, Central Auckland, Barf and Thompson made just 13 sales. That compared to 46 in June of last year. The central suburbs, they made 110 sales compared to 135 last year, so a big drop off. Eastern suburbs, 44 sales to 66, so you're looking at a third off again. Franklin, Manukau, rural, 67 as against 108 in June last year. So that's quite a heavy drop off. North Shore, 124 as opposed to 134, so 8 or 9% drop off in volume. Pakuranga and Howick, 101 as opposed to 110. Rodney, 73 to 68, but that's where there's been an awful lot of building, and there's also been a lot of building in Howick. South Auckland, this is one of the cheaper areas where people are able to still borrow a lot to get into the market, and this is where the first-time buyers, I think, are being lured in. 125 sales compared to the 94 last year. West Auckland has dropped as well, 128 from 139. So last year wasn't a big year if you compare 2018 sales to 15-16, and this year we generally are looking at anywhere between 8 and 30% off in many of these suburbs over the June period. This is happening at a time where available listings for June are at the highest that they've been since 2010, but Barford's listings for June were their lowest levels for 11 years. So the dynamic is things aren't shifting, they're staying longer on the market, volumes are lower, and people appear to be coming stuck. And that's where this accidental landlord, I think, could be a really, really big contributing factor. We talk about, I think, you know, you've run over the experiences of Sydney and Brisbane and Melbourne, where the rental prices have been under pressure because of the development. We'll come on to that maybe in another post. But what's also going to happen, I think, is you're going to see this competition between the private landlords who are doing it professionally, the mums and dads who've done it for retirement, and the accidental landlords who just need to get a tenant in because they can't sell and don't want to face stomaching loss at the moment. In the UK, when this happened to us, 2008, 2009, 2010, we moved a lot of people into rented accommodation. A lot of people who were wanting to sell ended up renting, moving to other parts of the country, to have tenants in for 4, 5, 6 years before the market had recovered enough again for them to sell and the equity positions. Not often did they make massive gains, but it was just to not make those and stomach those losses.
It was interesting. But of course, the question there is if prices go on falling, then the negative equity pools get bigger and bigger over time, right? Because effectively that's the mortgage stays the same. Hopefully you're servicing it from the rental stream, although often the rental streams are more related to income growth rather than actually property growth. So that's a problem. But if fundamentally the value of property doesn't go up over a long period of time, you are caught. And we know, I know personally of people in the UK who 10 years after the GFC are still caught in that same situation. They got a property with negative equity, which they're leasing out. The rentals are not covering it, but they can't face the prospect of selling and making a loss, right?
Yeah.
And they're just not able to cope with that thought. So they're really stuck.
Yeah, really stuck. And I think that some people, sometimes you just need to look at, okay, right, the equity's come off. I had 25% equity, it's come down, okay, it's 20% that I might be getting back. But what is the opportunity cost of using that 20% in a term deposit over 10 years rather than waiting for the recovery? Because all of that time, if your rent isn't covering your mortgage, all of that time there is a wasted opportunity cost of what you could have been doing with that equity. And it could be that just that you've got the establishment of being able to settle somewhere else and form a new life somewhere else where that equity allowed you to buy maybe in a cheaper market and just allowed you to keep going again.
Yeah, so sometimes cutting your losses is actually the best move despite the fact that it's probably the most uncomfortable move.
Yeah, well, a lot of people over here have never seen this before, so this is new territory. But what I would say is I think that there's going to be an awful lot of property that will come on, particularly the upper end of the market. And I look at, I think we ran that Remuera post, or so what's happening at the top end post a while back. Some of the yields that people are expecting off their purchase prices, and this is before costs are factored in, are 1% and 2%. So there will be people up there who, they'd be far better just to stomach a loss and get on with it.
Very important message, Joe. Thanks for that.
Good to see you, Martin.
Thanks, Joe. See you next time.